Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
There was no other possible reality than comedy will work, and I will use it to buy a 96 Impala or a 71 GTR. Even if I make it in comedy for a year and I make enough to buy this car and that's it, I was like, I need to do that at least.
If you guys want to see Ralph Barbosa's car collection tour video, the link will be pinned down below in the comments. And if you love the Street Alpha podcast, check out our exclusive GTR hoodies and t-shirts that are now available on the site. Hit the link below to get yours today.
Welcome back to another episode of the Street Alpha podcast. I am your host, Tooks, and today we are in Texas. We were at GTR Festival, and we have the pleasure of sitting with Luis and Ralph Barbosa. So Ralph is a car guy, but he is known for being a comedian who is actually one of the funniest comedians in Texas.
Yo, what's up, everybody? We're here at the Street Alpha podcast.
All right, so before we start, let's give a round of applause for Ralph and Luis. Yeah.
If you're watching at home, clap. All right.
So it's a little bit different because normally we have, we have shop owners, we have mechanics, we have drag racers and sometimes street racers, but we have a comedian, but he's also part of the community because he has a passion for cars and he also worked in an auto body shop.
Yes, sir.
That's how you got your start basically into actually working on or with cars, right?
Yeah. I started working at a body shop when I was about 13. I became a licensed painter when I was 18. And when I was about 20, I left the biz for good to chase comedy. I didn't want to do comedy. I just wanted to be a painter, but comedy was what I was good at. So they put me to work.
With painting, is that something that you were forced into through the family or that's something that you just decided you wanted to try?
I mean, my dad had a body shop in Dallas, in Oak Cliff, and I used to get dropped off there like in the summers or like just randomly, and I just have to sit there. And just inhale all the cancerous,
all the fumes,
all the Bondo. And it wasn't like a very like high-end shop. We had no paint booth. We would just have to like really clean the shop and then just shut the doors.
Damn.
Put a fan at the bottom of the door, you know, just paint it.
Yeah, it gets like that. Yeah.
And I just have to do homework like, 3 times 8. So just being in there, I really did fall in love with the cars. My dad always had a passion for cars. My uncles do. And just being in there, I fell in love with cars and how they could look. I used to like draw designs for like custom paint jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
And so every night, if my dad could convince a customer to like use that design, if they liked it, he'd give me like $100.
Oh, nice.
So it's cool, yeah. So that's how I fell in love with like custom paint. Body work, I never got too good at, but paint stuff.
Were you starting like as an apprentice, basically, in a shop?
Or? Yeah, I was really under my uncle,
okay,
Jose Barbosa, which is my dad's younger brother.
Okay.
He learned from a painter and body man named Alfred, which, rest in peace, Alfred. He's passed away. But my uncle, my dad had the body shop next to it. He had a car wash. So I started off working at the car wash one summer. But I went and I told my uncle after work that I really wanted to learn how to, like, paint.
Yeah.
So if he could, like, teach me. So he was like, yeah, next week. Just come here instead of the car wash. So I'd go in there and he'd just have me sand stuff, just sanding and sanding and sanding until your hands just turn flat.
Callous.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, your hands are just flat, bro, like a block. My hands are just soft blocks at this point. And yeah, so by the time I went to like paint school,
yeah,
I wouldn't say I was like a great painter or nothing like that. Mm. I had only painted like the underside of the inside of a fender and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was experienced enough that I could get through the projects like quick.
Yeah.
So I had like extra free time to practice stuff. And I actually got to like make extra money in paint school because I'd get hired to like paint PlayStation controllers or like valve covers for like friends.
Oh, that's dope.
It was cool, yeah.
With the paint school, how long were you in there for before you can actually get a job?
I was actually only in there for about 2 semesters.
Okay.
And I got a job at a shop. And the painter at that shop was like a decent painter, but he would like sometimes just not show up. Or he would like leave me hanging a lot. Like I would, and I'm sure a lot of apprentices go through this.
Yeah.
Where like I'm prepping this car. I got it taped up. I've done everything to this car except paint it. It's in the booth. He would just show up, paint it, not even correctly color match it. Sometimes he'd paint an orange fender and the rest of the car is just like red. And so that the shop owner got tired of this dude and dealing with him. So he was like, bro, I'll get you certified early if you just like take over. And I was like, yeah. So I got PPG certified. I got to go to like some PPG classes. It was a really dope experience. And I was there like not even a whole year though before I started taking over like half of the paint jobs. And that dude was mad. So he was trying to like fight back, you know, which I didn't care. I just wanted a job. But the more responsibility I got, the more one of the guys there, I honestly forgot his name and I feel really bad. I forgot his name. He was here illegally. And one day he tells me, he's like, hey, he tells me in Spanish, you know, he's like, hey, he's like, you don't have papers? I said, yeah, I was born here. He's like, oh, but you didn't finish school? I was like, yeah, I graduated high school. He's like, oh, he's like, then why do you work here? He's like, why don't you do something like better? And I was like, well, I wanted to be like a custom painter, but he's like, man, you could take advantage of being a citizen, knowing English, being educated, like you could go so much further.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I had done a few open mics before.
Okay.
But at that point, I was like, you know what? That was like the last little push that I needed to just be like, yeah, I should really try stand up if I really like who, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why not take advantage? There's open mics. I speak the language. Like, let's try it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I quit.
And with painting, what is like one of the hardest colors to paint?
I would say like candy colors.
Okay.
Or like when a factory color is kind of like more complex. Like I think Mazda has like a couple colors that you gotta do them a certain way. There's sometimes, but I would say like candy. I never got to paint candy, but I practiced a lot for it because you gotta have your pattern like just right. And whatever distance and pattern you have when you're painting the car, you can't just paint it like panel by panel. You gotta walk the entire car and keep that distance and that pattern the same. And you got to do that, you know, throughout the whole car. Like whatever distance you had for the bumper and the hood, you need to keep that distance for the fender and the door. Because if you don't, you got a dark cherry candy on one side and a light candy apple red on the other side, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And the process for it, is it like, does it take longer for it to cure or...
I don't know if it takes longer to cure. I know it takes longer to paint just because you got to add more like undercoats. You got to put like some silver under there and some gold or whatever. But I don't know if it takes longer to cure. Probably does with all that like flake in there.
So if you had a choice to kind of, I guess, paint one of your dream cars, right? What color would you paint it?
Man, I actually didn't even really care to paint this color at first. I've always wanted to paint like a lavender purple or maybe something slightly darker.
That's dope. Yeah, that's cool.
I would like to paint like an old school Cadillac. I don't think I'd actually own one, but I always wanted to paint one.
Yeah.
Those long, you know, like a real boat.
Yeah.
But then this fool was talking about, because he's building his Skyline and he was saying he wants to paint it the Midnight Purple 3.
Yeah.
That color is sick.
Crazy. Yeah. You look at it, like every time you like look at it from a different angle, it's like a different color.
Orange.
Purple. I don't even know what colors are in there.
Yeah, it has like an orange flop to it. So I would like to paint something that color eventually. And even if I don't own something that's that color, I would like to paint something that color. That would be sick.
You'd have to get that paint from Nissan though, right?
Yeah, I heard it's super expensive.
You know how much roughly?
Bro, yeah. I'll kill the guy who's in charge of that. I will beat him up.
I talked to someone at SEMA. I don't know how true this is.
Okay.
He was telling me that he paid like 10 grand for just the materials.
I believe it. Well, for materials for the paint.
Yeah, Midnight Purple 3.
And that's not even including like the labor, obviously, to spray the car.
Yeah, it's not including labor.
So roughly, if you were to get like that color, let's say for $10,000 in materials, what would it cost to paint that? Because of how, you know, complex the color is and and so on?
Man,
roughly, what do you think?
I don't even know. I don't know what a lot of dudes are charging right now, and women. Sorry, people. I don't even know. I would say, like, if the materials cost 10 grand, the labor on something like that, it's probably going to run you another 5 grand. But I really don't even know. It depends on the shop. Some people will charge you cheaper and maybe do some half-ass sanding, and
yeah,
your paint's going to start chipping in a few years, you know?
Right.
But when it comes to paint and body, I'd rather do it myself, but I recommend you pay the extra and get some good work for your car.
Yeah.
If it's like some custom stuff, if you're just, you know, redoing the factory color, then yeah, go get your orange peel special.
So would you say like the prepping is the most important process of painting a car?
I think it's all important.
Okay.
But I think you got to treat each step as important as the last or the next.
And what do you think is the most difficult process for you?
For me?
Yeah, personally.
Not getting like my finger grease on the car before painting it, like not okay. touch it, or like not getting like, I'll always wear something that ends up on the car, like some fuzz from a hoodie.
Yeah.
Or like I've caused so many chemical reactions on the car, so much fisheye. I'm dirty, bro. I'm a dirty boy.
So is it the same for you? Do you paint cars too or no?
Not really.
Okay.
I've painted them in my backyard before. Nothing professional.
This dude is because he's not gonna tell you himself. He's too like modest. He's an engineer. He's like a brainiac.
Okay.
So he's an engineer, but he's also this like master mechanic. I linked up with him because he started showing me how to do the mechanical work behind a lot of like, when I got the GTR.
Yeah.
I linked up with him and he's been showing me how to do actual mechanical work.
Yeah.
Because that's right. Something that I had no experience in.
So like we're talking about like motor swaps or just like oil changes, changing tires and things like that?
Nah, oil changes, alternator changes, starter stuff, I can do that no problem.
Okay.
But once I started wanting to put performance parts on my cars,
yeah,
this is who I hit up. He's worked mostly on the Japanese cars, but
imports.
He's also
yeah. imports.
Didn't you?
I've done a few LS swaps.
LS swap on like a Monte Carlo.
Yeah,
or something
Monte
like
Carlo.
That?
Yeah. I did an LT swap on that. And then, yeah, LS swap my Datsun. So,
did you go to school for that, or that's something you just picked up in, nah. At the house in the garage type thing?
Everything was off YouTube. It happened because I was like too broke to afford a mechanic when I first got my car.
Yeah.
And I just started YouTubing stuff, and you know, eventually it became really fun.
Right, right.
Him and his brother pretty much just took their mom's Sentra.
Oh, we pimped it out. It was
yeah.
What?
They went pit my ride on that thing.
Yeah,
when they were in high school.
We cut the springs on it.
I've been there. We've all been
we
there.
We cut the exhaust on it. It was so loud. It was funny watching my mom, you know, drive that thing.
Yeah. So now, this is one thing that's pretty controversial in the yeah. car scene, right? A lot of people feel like if you're not a mechanic and you don't work in a shop, that you're not a car guy. What do you guys think about that?
I think that they're just kind of mad. I think it happens in every industry, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every industry mixes
with something
else.
But you can relate,
yeah. Like in the comedy world, I love stand-up. I don't necessarily see it as like this art. You know, I'm not artsy
right.
with it. I think it's very much like a craft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I do take it very serious. But there's some stand-up comedians that see people who are like, what I guess what you'd call like a TikTok comedian,
a real comedian, right.
And they're like, ah, that's not real comedy. How is it that they sell more tickets than me? They should, like, I deserve, like, and it's like, bro, funny's funny.
Yeah.
Cars are cars. You know, a passion is a passion. Like, just because you went the route of, like, you actually work in the shop, you actually do that, like, more power to you. Like, hell yeah, you're a car guy. But, man, like, everybody takes a different path.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, right. So, you obviously learned on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Now, you would consider yourself a car guy, right?
I would say so, yeah.
Right. So, do you feel like people would think differently because you only learned on YouTube and you didn't go to school or anything like that?
Well, I've been working on cars for like 12 years.
Okay. So yeah.
YouTube's been around for most of that.
Right.
But, yeah, I've been called like TikTok mechanic, stuff like that, because I make videos on TikTok. But
follow him. username_AF. But this dude also, this is why I like learning from him though, because I'm pretty introverted and where like I'll ask questions from somebody once I like already get to know them and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've walked around with him at like the car meets and at GTR Fest, and it doesn't matter if it's somebody who's certified, been working in a shop for 15 years, or if it's another, you know, YouTube graduate, he'll ask them everything about everything so that he can sponge it all up.
Yeah. That's one of the things I think is most important, is kind of like having, like, trying to understand that, like, you're not going to know everything.
Yeah.
You know, and asking those basic questions is honestly what kind of elevated this platform, because I didn't come in here as a mechanical expert.
Yeah.
And I just asked basic questions that people are scared to ask. So when we were speaking to Lee,
you
were asking him a bunch of questions about the RB.
Yeah.
And they were like questions that most people who have RBs know of.
Yeah.
But like, you didn't care. Like you were like, yeah, I want to know. And it's just, it could be basic or not. You didn't really care. And I think that that's what most people have to understand, is like, you won't know everything.
Yeah. You're not born knowing everything.
Right. Right. So that's important. So what sparked your interest in cars, aside from, you know, obviously you painting them? What was your, like, what sparked the interest? Was it the Dallas or Texas car scene at all, or?
I think it was just, I don't know, maybe just toys, Hot Wheels, video games in general, or just cars in general. As a kid, I wasn't too much into like sports.
Okay.
When I was like really small, like 4 or 5, I'd see like other kids playing or whatever, tag sports. But like I said, I was kind of like introverted. So I was just like little Hot Wheel toys and stuff. So I always had like a general interest. Movies and TV always kept me interested. My neighbor, though, had a big part in it. This dude named Isaac Buchanan, when he rest in peace, he passed away. He's an older man. He lived right across the street from me, and he was a Marine. He went to the Marines. I always get the wars mixed up. I'm bad on my history. I don't remember if it was the Korean War or the Vietnam. I know it was 1969, because with his Marine money, he bought a 1969 Corvette.
Oh, dope.
And he took care of that thing from the day he bought it till the day he passed away. When he came back from the Marines, all his life he grew up working on cars. When he came back from the Marines, he worked as a mechanic. He worked as a body man. Mm-hmm. I think he even painted his own car himself. I think when he bought the car originally, it was like a gold color out of the factory. And then he painted it blue. And he was always working on his car. Just changing out parts here and there, you know?
Yeah.
And he was always working on all the cars in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And our cars were always breaking down. My grandma had an '02 Jeep Liberty. And I'm pretty sure Mr. Isaac hated that car because he fixed it so many times. So I would just kind of go out there and like watch him. Like, he taught me the basics of just, you know, this is how you change out an alternator. This is how you change out a belt or whatever. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I would always just kind of see what cars he was working on. And then he had a lot of, you know, old friends who had classic cars, and every now and then they'd pull up. There was also I think the neighborhood I just grew up in, I was kind of lucky that there was like some car guys, because behind his house, and then at the corner, because we were near the corner already, there was another mechanic, bald dude. I never spoke to him, but he was always working on cool cars. A couple times he had R35s out there, which was nuts. As a kid, you know, when you actually see one in person, you're like, what? And then just to see him in his driveway, because these aren't like, you know, big houses, big garages.
Yeah.
This is just like this one car garage. And he had a Mustang in there. And then he had this R35 in his driveway on jacks. And I don't know what he was doing under there, but it was just like, you know, it's cool to see it. Another couple guys, they moved when I was pretty young. But I remember another couple guys on the opposite end of me went into Hondas.
Okay.
And so they I'd go outside whenever I'd hear their cars just rah, pop, 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 pop. And then I would see old schools around my neighborhood a lot too. One guy, I never found out where he lived. Not that I was going to do anything, but every now and then you just catch him. Like catching a shooting star, bro. Every now and then you'd catch him in a Grand National. He had an 87 Ooh. Grand National, and it was just like up to, it looked like it just came out the factory.
Yeah.
So I grew up pretty close to people who just had a huge respect and love for cars.
Yeah. So the cars that you've seen, they were all different, right?
Yeah.
So what did you gravitate more towards?
Man, I think I like muscle cars a lot.
Okay.
But I also love Nissans. Out of all the cars out there, my top two are always going to be Nissan and Chevy.
Okay.
It's like a tie with those two.
Nissan and Chevy. That's interesting.
Yeah. I like all cars. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love cars in general. I even dabble with some Fords.
What's wrong with Fords, man?
I don't know. They're all right.
Well, first off, why Chevy?
Chevy because when... If for those who know that my family had some ties to the drug world way back that they've paid their dues for. All right, I'm not here to like promote that or like gloat about it, but I have an uncle who was making a lot of money when I was very small, and I remember he just pulls up one day in a Corvette, a Z06.
Ooh.
And I just fell in love with that car, and it, to me, that was just like the it car, because I mean, my uncle to me was like the coolest guy in the world. So yeah, like, so that's now the coolest car ever, you know.
Yeah,
he had a Corvette, he had a couple BMWs, which made me like BMWs a lot. So that's kind of where like my love for Chevys grew. My grandpa, who was not a drug dealer, just regular working man, my grandpa loved his trucks. You know, if you're from Texas, you gotta love trucks, you know. And my grandpa had the first one that I remember, he had this like maybe 02 or 04. It was a crew cab Silverado, mm-hmm. like midnight blue, just like that dark blue. And man, yeah, pretty sure the bed had those little what do they call it, like those chrome
thing.
But anyway, he drove it like 5 times. My grandpa was one of those type that he, you know, drive it, wash it, put it up in the garage. I would have to help him put the tarp on the over car. And then he finally traded it in. That thing might have had like not even 5,000 miles on it, and he traded it in and got a 2012 Silverado, all red, tan interior. And same thing with that one. He actually let us take that one to Mexico a couple times.
Oh, word?
Which was crazy. I was like, yo, my grandpa must be dying for him to be so generous and let us drive it to Mexico. Because he wouldn't let nobody
drive it. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I like those Chevys. Like I said, my neighbor also had the Corvette.
Yeah, right.
So I saw the 69 Corvette. I saw the Z06. And that's where the love for Chevys came in. I also would see 96 Impalas, which, you know, gone through a couple of those now, and those mm-hmm. were like, I was like, that one's mine. My uncle is the Corvette guy, my neighbor is the old school Corvette guy, my grandpa's the truck guy. I was like, I'm the 96 super sport guy.
So before we get to the Nissan and why you got into that, Luis, what about you?
I love Nissans.
Nissans,
yeah, I'd say Nissans.
And you've always been a Nissan guy?
Yeah, I've always been a Japanese guy, because my dad always had Japanese
You're
trucks.
Japanese?
No. No, my dad always had like Japanese trucks, and you know, we got them because they're more reliable.
Yeah.
And my first car happened to be a Datsun.
Datsun?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, 280Z. And ever since then, I got a 240. Then mm-hmm. I've had a bunch of 240s. I have like an R34, and yeah, I've always loved them.
Did I ask you what your first car was?
I don't think you did.
Nah, what was your first car?
I don't want to tell you now. I'm joking. It wasn't a Datsun, but that is a dope first car.
Hey, the Datsun was cheap though. Like back in that day, they were it's a 280ZX.
Yeah, yeah.
And they weren't as popular as the 280Zs.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it for $1,500. So
now you got it on fire.
Oh yeah, I caught it on fire a couple times. Really? Yeah. So it's now spray painted green with a
shark mouth.
Yeah, the shark mouth, you know, the old fighter jets
have. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it has that and an LS in it.
Oh, so you still have your first car?
Yeah, I still have it.
It's a drift car. He almost killed me in it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
We almost died.
He's like, I know this spot where we can go do donuts. And it's like 1 a.m. It was after one of my shows. He's like, let's go. I was like, all right, hell yeah. He let me drive it for like a block, first of all. Because it's like a race car, man.
There's
The thing is just switched, clack, clack, clack. I didn't even like floor it. I gave it some gas. I think it's like labs. He's like, all right, I'll drive it from here. And I was like, all right, that's cool. And he says he knows a spot. I'm thinking he's taking us to this like open area.
Yeah.
He takes us to a church parking lot surrounded by houses, hardworking middle class Americans. And he just starts doing donuts like crazy. But the battery wasn't strapped down, right?
The battery wasn't strapped down.
So it's like, flies off and goes on the fuel cell.
Yeah, like both ends, so it sparks on the fuel cell.
Dude, that's pretty intense.
Yeah, and if we had to push the car back to his house.
Wait, but how'd you get rid of it? So it caught on fire?
No, it didn't caught on fire.
It did a quick and then it just went out.
I was going to say, how are you pushing the car if it's on fire?
Oh, no. You think I can't touch fire, bro?
No, the original fire happened. I have two Datsuns. And I was switching over everything nice from the original Datsun to my new one. I was cutting the exhaust, a little spark hit the fuel tank and it caught on fire.
Damn.
And I was a little dumb. I had a water hose ready in case something caught on fire.
Right. But, a water hose.
But I didn't know at the time that water does not put out gasoline fires. And I was just spraying it, and it just got bigger. And I thought, I don't know what was going on. I kept spraying it, and it just like just turned into a huge fire. And yeah, if you learn anything, just like don't put out gasoline fires with water. But now I keep a fire extinguisher in every car I modify.
Ever since I've met him, he's gifted me like five fire
extinguishers. Fire extinguishers.
He's got like PTSD. He's like, you might need this.
No, I've caught like three cars on fire. So I'm but I feel like I've learned. You know, I'm very cautious of where things are.
Yeah, yeah. Especially with safety, that's very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't die, everybody.
No, seriously. So you said Nissans. Why Nissan? And it seems like you're more into like the sports car kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I fell in love with Nissan. So growing up, one of my best friends, his name's Mark Posada, mm-hmm. his uncle was a street racer and his uncle was in a crew where they all drove Nissans. His uncle Danny, shout out to that dude, cool as hell. And so Mark, at like, we're like 9 years old, he just started introducing me into like what the cool Nissans were. Mm-hmm. He's like, my uncle had a 280Z and he had a 300ZX and they look like this. And he would talk about a Skyline a lot. He was like, my uncle's homeboy has a Skyline. He's like, it's not running right now, but watch when it is, watch. I was like, what's the Skyline like? You know what I mean? It sounds
dope though.
Right?
Skyline, yeah.
Yeah, but especially if you see Nissans around the neighborhood, a Sentra, a Maxima.
Ultima, like, whatever, yeah.
I'm like, well, which one's the Skyline? And he showed me one day and I'm like, man, that's tight. Like, I like those. And then he's like, man, you're gonna trip out, watch. He's like, one day we were watching Too Fast, Too Furious. He's like, what do you think that car is? And I'm like, that's the Skyline? He's like, that's the Skyline. I'm like, oh, hell yeah, Brian's car. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I really like Nissans from the ones that he was showing me. They just seem cool, especially because that was my first. I never even met these people other than his uncle. Yeah. But I'm like, yo, like, these street racers, they use Nissans. Like, hell yeah, that's where it's at. My first car was actually a Nissan Sentra. I'm gonna make it fast one day, watch. I work like, two jobs just to get it. I bought it for like $1,000. I overpaid. It was bad, bro. No clear coat on it. Paint is just fading away. The no radio. The windshield just was mostly cracks. Yeah. It's just lines with a little bit of glass that you could see through. The windows didn't roll down on the front. On either side, I don't think. So it was one of those things where, like, when you pull up to a drive-thru at Jack in the Box, you got to open the front door and order like that, you know? It's embarrassing.
I've been there.
Every time I get pulled over, I would be scared that, like, the cop was going to think I was going to run or shoot or something.
Oh, because
I
couldn't open the door.
So I would open the door and be like, my window doesn't roll down. You know? And he'd be like, that's all right. I know you're broke. I can tell. But, yeah, I that car was, like, low. It was small. I would just do little things to it. Like, I was really proud of it, you know what I mean? Because I worked for it, and I liked how it sounded. It wasn't like a SCR or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was really proud of it. Little things that would break on it, I would fix it. But it was just like, it started having way too many problems that I couldn't I didn't really have the time to fix it. I couldn't afford to fix it. A couple times, it started having this problem. I don't know if it was just like, something with like the fuel pump or my injectors might have been dirty or what, but I started having this problem where I'd be driving down the highway and it would just shut off. And so I would have to like throw it into neutral, turn it back on, pump the gas, rev it a little bit to get it back up, and then like put it back in drive, like which was horrible in traffic, like stop and go traffic. But so I tried to like fix it and I made it worse. Yeah, and
how much worse can it get?
It wouldn't start no more.
I mean, obviously.
So my neighbor, Mr. Isaac, fixed it, but I'll feel bad because I couldn't like afford to pay him like what he deserved. He wouldn't charge me.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm like, bro, I got to give you something. But then I would be like, well, look, just give me till like you know, I was when I had that car, I had just started barber college. I didn't get my first car until I was like 21.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was dumb. I wouldn't even say that, like, oh, it's because I was so broke.
You were living in Texas, right? Obviously,
yeah.
So, how do you travel in Texas without a car? Because that's like Long Island, where I'm from, or suburbs. You need a car to get around, basically.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, same over here. But I would just bum rides, or I would take the DART bus.
Gotcha.
The bus sucks, bro.
Wait, so buses in Texas? I don't really see that too often out here, no.
If you're in like Dallas. At this time, I'm like right on the borderline of Garland and Mesquite. Uh-huh. Mesquite doesn't have public transportation.
Okay.
But Garland does. And most of my stuff was in Garland, Dallas anyway. So, yeah, they have public. But a lot of the areas, you know how it is with like suburbs, a lot of them, just to keep homeless people from going there, they don't have public transportation.
Right, right.
But luckily, I only hung out in homeless populated areas.
Ah, okay, okay.
So I take the bus a lot to places, just bum rides.
Yeah. So, the Altima, or was it?
Sentra.
The Sentra was your first car?
That was my first car.
This episode is brought to you by Freshlinks, your ultimate destination for custom accessories. Check out their awesome no-brewery flags, perfect for hanging in your room, garage, or any space that needs a touch of personality. Don't wait to get the flag you've always wanted. Head over to freshlinkshop.com today to elevate your style with the best custom accessories around.
But when you picked up some of these cars, or any car after that, did you ever think like, oh, the paint's messed up, I could just fix it myself?
Actually, yeah, because okay. So I got this car. I was still technically in paint school.
Yeah.
But I got this car right around my transition. I left the whole painting industry, mm-hmm. so that I could chase comedy more seriously. And not that I just was like, oh, I'm a painter, now I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
But I, you know, when you start doing comedy, you got to go to open mics every night of the week. So I needed a job that would allow me the flexibility to just leave or miss days to go to this show or that show.
Yeah.
Or also I needed a job where I could go from work straight to a show and not have to go shower and
exactly.
change,
you know, yep.
not have
yep.
Bondo powder all over you. But when I was in the paint school, I was like, bro, I started sanding it. And I was like, me and my buddy, we'll repaint it. I have a brand new paint job. So I started sanding it. And just doing my minor dent repair, you know. And I got as far as like maybe doing like a little bit of body work on it. I got as far as like glaze, but never actual primer on it. So I left it uglier than when it started.
And you were driving around with it like that?
Yeah.
Just Bondo?
Yeah, just glaze.
Glaze.
Right after Bondo. So it's a little, okay. you know. Don't do
yeah,
me
I mean,
like
I'm
that.
Not, I don't, yeah, yeah.
I had it glazed. I was driving a glazed 02 Nissan Sentra. And yeah, then I quit all that, you know, auto body industry. I was like, I'll be a full time. I was, by that time, I already knew how to cut hair.
Okay.
I started cutting hair when I was like 13 as well.
Yeah.
So I would do that on weekends anyway. So I was like, I'll be a barber full time. I'll get a barber's license. And like that, I'll be able to chase comedy.
Right.
And so yeah, I signed up for barber college and I'm pulling up in this Sentra just all ugly as hell, and I never did any more work to it, and if I did, I would make it worse.
Yeah
this sucked.
Now when you started to take comedy serious, I guess at that point, mm-hmm. did you kept that car for a while before you obviously elevated to
I was able to sell that car for like maybe $500-600 because I did leave it in worse condition than I found it in, which is sad to say. I never want to do that again, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember like who I bought this other car from, but I had saved up a little bit of money, cause I had so many odd little jobs here and there. I did other pieces for like 2 months, and with that job and still in the Sentra, I bought an 06 Impala that somebody had got from like a police auction. And I was like, hell yeah, it's going to be cool. I'm gonna make it look like the police interceptor.
Yeah.
And nah, that car had like, it was leaking oil from everywhere. Damn. I remember it kept running low. I would check the oil, and you know, when you're broke as hell and your car keys breaking down, you start to check everything like hourly. I'm like, before every trip, I'm like, let me check the oil, let me check the coolant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was leaking oil from everywhere. It was that thing everywhere I would park, I would just see a puddle of oil. And I'm like, bro, like whoever I bought it from, I don't remember who I bought it from, but I just remember thinking like they cleaned all the oil off of this motor. Like they had to spend so much time wiping oil off before they showed it to me. Before
they sold it to you,
yeah. Yes, because I went under there. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I was under there. And there was nothing. They, like, so they did me dirty, but I was able to get rid of that car. And I think I traded it for another Impala, which was just a 2000 Impala.
Yeah.
Brown leather interior. I love the interior. The outside was just horrible. And that car ended up having a lot of problems on it. But that ended up being my car for the majority of the time of that I was chasing comedy.
Now, when you started to do these gigs, right, were you already ambitious enough to say like, all right, I'm going to make it no matter what?
No, I was, in my mind, there was no other possible reality than comedy will work and I will use it to buy at least, even if I can't buy all the cars I want.
Yeah.
I was like, I will have either a 96 Impala or a 71 GTR. I was like, one of those. Even if I get like a one hit wonder, I make it in comedy for a year and I make enough to buy this car and that's it. I was like, I need to do that at least. But like, there was no other reality. There was no like, I guess it's not going to work. You know, like I could see myself going back to painting, I guess. Like,
yeah,
I would tell myself that because, you know, when you're dedicating your mind, body and soul to something, sometimes you do want to throw in the towel a little bit, but you never do it, you know what I mean? And if you do, then maybe it just wasn't for you, but I could never throw in the towel, like, no. Even if I told myself the little lie of, like, I should just quit, go back to painting. Because I did miss painting a lot, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'll quit, I'll go back to it, you know, I'll relax. But it's like, no, because when I was there, I just kept trying to think of ways to make everybody laugh because I wanted to do comedy, you know what I mean? So I was like, nah, this is the only reality that is going to happen. Like, I can't. Even if I didn't want it after a while, like, it has to happen. Like, I just, there's no going back.
Was there anything else, though, aside from cars? Maybe, like, a house? Like, was a car, because when you're younger, like, for me, like, when I was younger, for me, it was like, I want an S2000. I don't care what, I'm going to work whatever I got to do. I'm going to work whatever overtime I have to do to get that car. And I didn't care about having a house. I just wanted the car. Was it similar like that for you? Like, you weren't thinking about having a house or anything like that first?
Well, so I grew up with my grandma. It's just me
same,
and my grandma.
Same, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I was never going to leave my grandma's house.
That's literally.
I was just going to convince her to let me clean out the garage to put in my 71 Skyline.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
I never had the ambition to own a house. I had to build this to fit the cars. The only reason I built my home was because.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Because of the cars I wanted to own. Because I was finally able to afford the cars, you know?
That is dope. And it's the same for you, Luis? Like, were you kind of like ambitious to get the cars you wanted and you wanted to get a job or like just focus on only cars?
Yeah, I've always loved cars. I knew I had a problem when I got my first paycheck at Wendy's and it was, I think, only like $200, maybe less than $200. And I spent it all on racing seats.
And what car?
It was for my Datsun.
Oh, okay.
So every 2 weeks, I'd spend everything on some stupid car part. And eventually, I was like, man, this is dumb, you know?
Hey, but you know what? Here's you know, because I met this dude earlier this year.
Yeah.
This is where we start to kind of like have these little learning moments, but also like difference in opinions. Is every now and then I'll be like, hey, man, I want to change out all of the suspension on my Impala. I want to put an oil catch can on, you know, my R32. And because I'm an idiot, but also because I get excited, I'm like trying to do some research, but I'm like, I want the top of the line type of parts. I want, you know what I mean? Whatever is like the top of the line oil catch can, whatever is the top of the line radiator. Like,
right.
And he's just like, well, hold up. Because this is what's like more affordable and this is like efficient, but maybe try this brand also gets good. And they're, but I'm like, bro, I'm not trying to save money though.
Yeah.
But sometimes he's right. Sometimes it's like, bro, you're overpaying and the quality is actually not that good on these parts.
Right.
And so like that. So that's kind of where I start to like bump heads with this dude. But he has saved me a couple times.
So, but were you before the fame and all that stuff, right? Before, were you always like that? Or?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
When I was very small and my family had like money and I was spoiled where they're dressing me up in like, you know,
designer stuff.
Yeah. I always had like nice sneakers thanks to my dad, my mom, her brother, like you know, we were wearing stuff that was very popular around here at the time. I was mm-hmm. always in Polo Ralph Lauren. I was always right. in Guess. Like I had polo boots and stuff. I had like nice stuff. But once I got to high school and I was kind of more like on my own to buy my stuff, I bought that stuff for myself a couple times. And not only was it pricey, but I was also realizing like I don't necessarily feel confident or comfortable in it. So I don't necessarily say that I don't go for brand stuff, because sometimes I do like this brand, that brand, whatever.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I like plain colors. And I'm not like, this is what I wear and only this. It's more like if I see it and I like it, I'm like, all right, that one.
Right, you know, right.
Whether
right.
it's from Walmart or Neiman Marcus, whatever.
Yeah. So now when you're picking cars out now, right, because you have this collection here of beautiful cars, which if you guys have not seen it, make sure you guys check out that video of his car collection here. When you pick out a car, though, is it like you want the best of the best with these two, or you just don't care? You're just like, yo, this is what I want. This is what I've always wanted.
Nah, sometimes like... All right, like with my 1971 Skyline.
Yeah.
I did want it like as you know, immaculate as I could find it.
Okay.
I wanted every stitch on the interior to be on there. I honestly, if I could have, I would have ripped apart that engine just so I can like check the pistons, you know, but sometimes I don't really care much. Like I bought my Nissan 240 from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he took care of it. I wouldn't say it was like in the greatest condition, but it was cool, and I wasn't trying to like haggle him on the price too much. I didn't negotiate, but I was just like, bro, I just want the car, because
yeah,
once it's my dad is always like, you need to get it as cheap as possible in case you need to sell it, you know, is the value gonna go up? But I'm like, bro, I'm not selling that car. Like I need to get it because I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna put some miles on it. That's my thing with cars, is like I want to buy it to put miles on it.
Do you have a photo of that car when you first bought it?
I think I might, or he will at least for sure.
Yeah, I think
it didn't look too different, but it definitely was uglier than that.
No, I looked exactly the same.
Nah. That looks pretty good though.
The only difference is the powder coated wheels
and the tint.
You put tint on it?
Yeah.
No wonder I was backing up and it was way darker.
Also, he had his banner from he had like the merch thing. He had like one of those stupid magnetized like banners over the windshield. It was like a sticker. It wasn't a magnet. It was a sticker. And one day I was at a Quick Trip gas station and I just ripped it off. I was like, I'm sorry, bro, because it started peeling on one side. I was driving it too fast, bro. The sticker already wanted to come off.
You're driving it too fast.
I pushed that thing to its limits. It was going like 110. The car was just like,
No, but this it looks pretty good though. I mean, obviously you're gonna paint it, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, I was telling you earlier, I want to gut it.
Yeah,
I want to gut it completely. I want to plug some unnecessary holes. I want to fix whatever little dent it has. I know it's had some body work, so not to like discredit whoever did the body work on it, but I do want to just check that it's not just filled with body filler.
Yeah,
where it could have been like straightened out more. Just really take my time with it, and I want to repaint it. I just don't know if I want to do it black or like a midnight blue, mm-hmm. or maybe even like a what is it called, the purple?
Midnight purple.
Yeah, three.
Midnight purple three.
That'd be sick. I don't think I've seen that on 240. Yeah,
I'll probably piss off some real, you know, enthusiasts. Some guy who works in the shop. I think that I grew up in the generation that played a lot of Midnight Club, Need for Speed.
Yeah.
And just modifying and changing stuff.
Yeah.
And you grow up and you can do that in real life.
You're like,
bro, I'm sorry, but the age of purist is dead.
Yeah.
The future is now, old man. They should have. They fucked up when they gave me money. They should have never done that.
So, with the you mentioned something before about the when you got that car with the Skylines, they do have like a lot of them are beat up, like the R32s. Yeah. So, have you checked and inspected that, or you bought it from somebody who you know?
I bought it trusted? From somebody who I'm supposed to trust a lot, and I trusted them because I didn't even see it in person before I bought it.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I had it delivered over here. And once it was here, I checked on a couple things, but I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to just drive it.
Yeah.
Cause I was, you know, I tour a lot. I'm out of town a lot.
Right.
So I
right.
got home like 2 weeks after it was here already.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at it for like 5 seconds and I just drove it and I just started flooring it, bro.
What?
Yeah.
So you didn't, so this car hasn't been inspected at all for like rust or anything under the car or anything?
I mean, now it has. We've been under there a couple times.
Okay. We've been messing with it and
we camp out under
from
it.
From my opinion, that thing's immaculate.
It's immaculate?
Yeah. Like what's crazy is that you can see on the fuel hoses the original print of the,
oh, wow.
you know, the fuel line. So it's just like it's perfect. It's a perfect car.
So how long have you had the R32 for?
Man, since like when was it that you came over? Like March?
Yeah.
Since March.
March. And how much it's did you pick it up for, if you don't mind me asking?
I picked it up for I think somewhere a little under 60.
Under 60?
Yeah.
And this is from somebody in the States who had it, or you?
This is from, I don't mind saying it, I picked it up from Top Rank Imports. Appreciate you guys.
Oh, you my got buddy. That from Top Rank also?
Yeah. My buddy, Brian, I never know how to say his last name. Brian Janushk.
Okay.
He's a dope ass dude. Brian's He's also cool. a pro driver. He races in R32.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He won a championship, right?
He won the Nissan Challenge.
Oh, damn. Yeah,
championship driver now.
And that was his car?
Nah. That's his like he's one of the founding members of Top Rank.
His whole
business is bringing them over here. I think they even take like American cars to Japan. You know, a lot of American cars are popping over there.
Right.
Which is
right.
what I'm trying to do next.
What do you mean?
I'm trying to take this 96. I'm trying to take that 76 Camaro to Japan. Just be like, you want?
Oh, you're trying to sell it over there?
Yeah. I'm trying to be the plug to Japan, bro.
I don't even know what the market looks like in Japan for American cars. I'm sure it's probably the same thing as like, well, actually, no. I don't know.
They have a lowrider scene.
Oh, what?
They have a lowrider scene.
Oh, Japan. Lowrider scene? Yeah. I've seen that. But I don't think that the domestic cars here are going to be as much as like a Skyline or anything, you know? Like, it's... I feel like the imports are way more money.
Maybe, but maybe I just go out there, sweet talk them.
You probably definitely make more than what you would get here for it.
Like, hey, bro, you know, these 2000 Impalas are hard to get in the U.S., so if you got yourself a nice
trade them for some Supras or something.
Hell yeah.
So do you feel like what you have is you're content with right now, or do you want like, you said R34 actually in the tour.
Yeah, but with an R34, I promised myself I'd only buy one that's just beat to hell, beat to shit. Can I say shit on here?
Yeah.
I just want to find one that's horrible and, you know, bring it back to life. I don't want to just buy it like I bought the R32. Not knocking that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I didn't even know it'd be that easy to like find Top Rank and be like, yo, I want that one. Like I didn't believe it was gonna be true. So like when it happened, I'm like, oh shit, I got a Skyline, like, and it runs and drives.
Yeah.
But I you know, especially after meeting Luis and other like car guys
mm-hmm.
who build their own cars. You
right.
know what I mean? Like just put in the work. I'm like, all right, man, the R34 was the first one I ever wanted. So I'm gonna find one that I have to like touch every gut, every fuel line, every wire. Yeah, I probably won't be able to wire it myself, but I'm going to touch the wires, you know?
Yeah.
And just, I want to build it all and paint it and everything.
So at GTR Festival, there was a guy, Mark, he actually won the best R34 at the show.
Oh, damn.
And he has a NERSPEC too, right?
Oh, dang.
What car is it?
It's Millennium Jade, I think it is.
Millennium Jade.
So it's like that green, the light green color. So he said he paid $350,000 for it. And he put, I think, $200,000 into the car or something like that.
Dang.
So I was like, yo, how much did you sell this car for right now? And he was like, dude, I probably want like $600,000 or $700,000 for it. $600,000 or $700,000 for R34. But it is immaculate.
It is nuts. But if you love it, you know, it's worth it.
Yeah, I think for he said he's not going to sell it. But a lot of people are flipping these cars. You know, he does flip a couple of them. But I just feel like, me personally, I just feel like those cars aren't worth like $300,000.
It depends on what you love, bro. But I also, like, I don't know. I know some stuff is like, it's not worth that much money or this or that. But also, I don't know if this, I'm not claiming I'm autistic. You know, this might sound a little autistic, but sometimes I don't completely understand people's, like, view of money, like the concept of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's just like numbers. It's just like kind of like.
Is this a new thing or this is how you always were?
No, this is how I've always been.
Okay.
When I was telling you earlier that I'm like, it's not that I had like money problems. I was like, I'm so poor. Like, I was just like, I'm an idiot. You think I was joking around when I said they fucked up when they gave me money? Like, you know, we just passed like election season and everybody's like, why don't you ever go on stage and talk about like the election or the country and stuff? And it's like, bro, I don't know what to tell y'all. And the only thing I know about this country and like what's wrong with it is that I look at myself and that I'm like successful and I'm just like, that's bad. They let me make it, like, what the fuck? It's not fair, bro.
I swear, every time you drop a joke, I'm like, where's he going? Then it's like, I did not expect you to go there with it. I think that's what makes you so funny, because it's like you're just so like chill, and then it's just like you say something, it's like, wait, I was not expecting you to say that. But
sometimes I'm not even joking, like this is just no,
you're probably dead ass right now, you're probably dead serious right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. But I've made a career out of my thoughts, like, so fuck it, I'll take it.
Yo, so how do you balance like, because you travel a lot, right? You're always on tour. How do you balance maintaining all these cars while you're on tour?
Man, it's hard. I bought too many cars to truly enjoy them and keep them the way I want them. Yeah. And like work on them. Like, was it like 3-4 months ago, we changed out the suspension on this car.
Mm-hmm.
But it took us
4 days, a week almost.
Yeah, but like so separate, bro.
Yeah.
It was like we did the rear suspension and it.
That was horrible.
It's bad. Like to do the rear suspension with our schedules, yeah, to like actually do it, it took us about 4 days. And then it was like 2 weeks later before we could do the front suspension.
Yeah.
Do you see how it's sitting? Yeah. Which is rotors, no brakes. Also, I because I'm just dumb, I'll order like some parts, but I ordered some Wilwood brakes and I ordered the wrong brake lines. So I got like lines for a Mustang or something. Yeah. And we actually used those to siphon out coolant from the R32. So they had these lines and I was just like, it was overflowing. We're heating that bitch up. But it's just hard, bro. I'll get far on it. You know, I'm like, all right, we got this done. Hell yeah. And then next day I got to leave out of town for a week. So it's like, all right, when I get back. But then I get back and it's like, man, I haven't seen my son. Let me do stuff with my son.
Yeah.
And then he's out of town. Sometimes he was at SEMA.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so like, I'm just like, bro, I know he's at SEMA having a good time, but this motherfucker needs to come back. We got work to do. And then he does come back and it's like, we'll get to it later. Like, so it is tough, man. I wish that I would have bought like one car at a time or something like that.
Yeah.
But I got trigger happy. And I also kept thinking like, yo, who knows? Next year, I might not be able to sell a single ticket. You never know.
That's true.
I don't know how funny I even really am. People could just be like, this guy's dumb. Forget him. And so I wanted to buy the cars that I really wanted while I could.
Right.
I still got other cars I want to buy, but you know, I'm gonna get the ones I can while I can.
Right. It's kind of hard to say like when people could potentially run into money, but like if you are in a position, right, advice wise, if you, it's kind of hard to ask you because you're gonna have your take on it and I know what it's gonna be, but let's say for somebody who happens to run into a lot of money, right, any advice you can give them on purchasing cars, right? Do you think they should buy all the cars they want or should they kind of be conservative with their money?
All right, this is something that I'm kind of learning and I'm still in the process of it, but as you know, I think this is the smart thing to do.
Okay.
This is what I'm currently trying to do, just to give you a little insider info on the life of Ralph. Buy a car you want at as cheap as possible, for sure, like my dad said. But I think first things first, if you just come across this big pile of money, if it's a one-time thing, go invest it first. If you're worried about your, like, because I never wanted to stay at a job, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't mind working. I just don't like working under somebody else's, like, you have to be here this many hours.
Yeah, I agree.
That thing messes with my head. So if you're looking for financial freedom and you just got a big old check, go invest that first.
Okay.
And then, you know, if you have some left over, buy the cheapest car possible and just love that one car first and let your investment make you the money to buy the other cars later.
Okay.
I think. But also, do whatever you want, bro. I don't care. All I know is, like, I don't even truly follow my own advice, because my first big checks, like, I lost them. I messed them up bad.
Really?
Yes,
bro. Not on cars.
Just like on cars and like everybody. Like I'm also like, bro, I'm dumb, bro. I'm dumb. Like the cars you see here are not the cars that I even started with last year. Some of them maybe, like, I don't know, but there's been so many cars coming in and out of the shop that I'll buy and then sell and then buy this one and drive it for a while just because, yeah, I've always wanted to have one of those. Like, man, I've gone through like 3 G-bodies, a BMW, an Infiniti. Like,
yeah,
I'm very impulsive. I'm very like, I don't care. I can hear good advice and know it's good advice, but if it's not what I feel like doing, I won't do it. I've never cared too much about stuff. I'm bad. Like, I can't emphasize enough that it doesn't make sense that I'm like okay right now financially.
That's kind of the answer I was expecting, right? So do you take like long road trips, like driving?
If I'm performing in Texas, I'll drive to all the Texas gigs.
Now, when you drive, do you take any of these cars?
No, I've taken, when I had my Infiniti, I took my Infiniti. I had an Infiniti Q50S, and that was like my first car with AC and Bluetooth. Yeah. And that was like my first I made it car.
Okay.
I remember when I first bought that Infiniti, I got in it and I played the window shopper, 50 Cent. And I was reenacting the scene. You ever seen on Get Rich or Die Trying when he buys, I think it's like an S500?
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets in it and he's talking to himself in the mirror. He's like, what you looking at? The fuck on my car? I was like that in the Infiniti, like, window shopper. But I took that one to Houston and to Austin and San Antonio. But these other cars, I haven't taken them.
Not at all.
Nah. I'll take other people's cars. I like feeling how other cars drive.
Yeah. Now, have you met anybody in the space that you're in through cars?
Yeah, a couple, like, but none that I've really like hung out and like
you didn't connect with them,
car meet or stuff like that. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Most comedians that I meet are really into drugs. So we'll bond over stuff like that at times.
So growing up, this is not car related, but like, who is one of your favorite comedians?
Bro, everybody's favorite, Chappelle. Chappelle Show, Adam Sandler. I originally got into stand-up because at first I wanted to be a comedic actor because I'd see like Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell, you know, Bernie Mac, Mike Epps, and I was like, bro, I could be in funny movies. I think I could be in funny movies. I took an acting class.
Mm-hmm.
Just they had it at Richland Community College. I went for one semester. This is where a lot of people don't know, is right before going to paint school, I was like, I'm not going to paint school. I'm going to be an actor. And I went to one semester of acting classes, and the dude pointed me out. The dude was like, you know, you're not that good. My teacher, he was like, why do you want to act? You know, I just feel like you're kind of struggling, but what's your motivation?
Yeah.
I said, I want to be a funny actor. I want to be a comedic actor. He's like, that's cool. He's like, I think you can make it happen. But comedians... a good thing for, you know, all comedians is to try all the avenues of comedy. So keep coming to the acting classes, but also maybe try stand-up.
Yeah.
Or improv. And mm-hmm. He pointed me out to an open mic. And I went to the mic and I went up. I signed up at 5 p.m. The mic started at 8 p.m. They put me up at 1:30 a.m. And I got yelled at by the only two people left in the room, which were other open micers. They were drunk. And I was like, dang, this is bad. I don't know why I thought I could do this. And I didn't go back up until like, I don't know, maybe 6-7 months later. And then it went bad again. And I was like, I can't do this. And then like another few months would pass. And I was like, I figured it out. Because the whole 6 months, I'm just in my head like,
yeah,
you know what went wrong is this and then this. And if I try this, this time and that. And eventually I got it, you know?
Yeah. Now, if you were to take a road trip with any, like let's say Chappelle, right? And you had to take a long road trip. What car would you and Dave Chappelle drive in?
Probably the 96 Impala.
Why that car?
I don't know. I think he likes to chill. He also likes to, you know, smoke. I feel like that car is roomy. The leather smells
nice. You know, I could see that though.
Right?
Yeah, he said that. Yeah, I could definitely see. Yeah.
Also, I don't know if it's just because I grew up here and this is something that you encounter a lot.
Yeah.
In Texas. But if you ever smelled the inside of an Impala mixed with the smell of like burnt weed and a burnt Swisher, I don't think Chappelle likes Swishers, but I do. So it's my car, you know? But like, you know, that smell, just chilling, driving, it's roomy too. I feel like when you're taking road trips, you need some space. I get claustrophobic kind of fast.
That's true. That is true. So this is probably your roomiest car, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Out of everything here?
Yeah.
And then what is your favorite car to drive out of your collection?
Man, I don't think that you can pick a favorite. I think that it's like with music. I don't know if I have a favorite song. I don't know if I have a favorite car. I just think this week, this is the one I'm favorite
for the fair.
Week.
Yeah. That's fair.
Hard.
What about you, Luis?
Favorite car to drive?
Yeah. I mean, how many cars do you even have?
I have, I think, like 5.
Why he disrespecting you like that?
Damn. No, because he kept talking about he got this. He got 2 of these cars, drift car, and then he had this car he sold to you. So like,
yeah. His is impressive too, because he don't even, like, not trying to sound cocky, but he don't make as much money as I do. So like, when I see all his cars and what he's done to it, I'm like, where's his money coming from?
I just get them dirt cheap. I only buy a car if it's a like an amazing deal. I never buy a car because I want one. It's just like if it's like a ridiculously good deal, I'll just buy it. But I think my favorite car to drive is my Datsun, the old blue one, the dark blue one.
Datsun?
Not the drift one.
Not the drift one. Well, actually, nah, like that one gets my heart racing every time I drive it. That one's fun.
Well, that one does feel like it's going to blow up, like at any moment.
It has no lights or anything. It's scary to drive.
It has no what?
Lights.
Like,
it has nothing electrical.
Like besides, lights?
Yeah, nothing. It burned down. Everything melted on it.
So that's your favorite car to drive?
I guess, yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah, that's the one car I get into, and I get excited every time. So I would probably say it's my favorite.
So do you look at cars as an investment when you buy them, since you say you get them super cheap? I know there's people who do that. They try to, you know, get the cars at a low price. That way they can resell them for higher, obviously.
Yeah.
So every car is an investment for you.
Yeah.
So right now... Out of all the cars you have, which one's going to be the first one to go if you're going to sell it?
Oh, I have that 240.
The 240?
Yeah, the 240 is ugly.
You have another one?
I have an ugly hatchback out there.
The S13.
Yeah.
This dude only buys cars if they're like about to blow up or if they're just not running. I can hear that hatchback coming from down the road. It's just like.
So, all right. So for the both of you, what is next for your car journey?
I took that blue SS I have to a track, and I'll try to learn how to launch it,
yeah,
like properly and stuff. Because all I've done is, you know, just put it in sport mode on the highway and just
haul at it. But right,
I take it to a track so I can learn how to properly drag race. And it's horrible. These old white dudes were laughing at me. It was fun. They were cool people. They were showing me a thing or two.
Yeah,
I did like 7 passes, maybe 8 throughout the night before like they were having a small tire shootout.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to like just try different types of racing. I want to learn how to drift. I want to go on some circuits, you know?
Yeah.
So I think what's next for me is, other than working on these cars, is race car driving school.
Okay. That's cool.
I'm trying to get out of the comedy game.
Yeah, that's dope. Oh, wait, you're trying to get out of the comedy game?
I mean, not like completely, but I want a tour list. I would like to be home sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so you don't see yourself doing comedy for too long? Like, that's not the rest. That's not like the end goal thing.
Well,
like,
it's just for the last 2 years and like 4 months, I've been traveling and performing every single weekend. And sometimes I'll leave and I'll have to be gone for 2 weeks or a month, you know?
Yeah.
And it's only in these last couple months that I've been able to slow it down a bit. But even now, it's like I'm still gone every week pretty much. Yeah. This week, I scheduled it off 6 months ago because of GTR Fest. Brian from Top Rank was telling me about GTR Fest. And I got in contact with my manager and my agent.
Yeah.
I'm like, nothing. I was like, even if I change my mind. But... And like, here's how much I'm used to touring is because I know I didn't perform this week, and I actually ended up doing a pop-up show last night, two pop-up shows with Mo.
Oh, Allen. Really?
Yeah. But because I know that I didn't do a full weekend, I booked an extra, now I have to be gone for a week because I booked extra shows in New York to pop up in and then Cali. So I'm like, every now and then we'll leave, you know, Thursday to Sunday, but every now and then we'll book extra shows. So now we're gone for 2-3 weeks, and you know, 2 years of that, I'm like tired of airplanes. A little tired of hotels. I want more time with my son, and when I'm here and I get to go to like the car events and I get to just chill with my son after and take him to watch GTR's drag race, like I just want to do more of that. So I want to get to a point where, like, that's why I'm building the paint shop next door,
right
so I want to get to a point where I can find a way to like make money in other ways, you know, other, you know, something in the automotive industry again. I do want to go back to that. Maybe not do body work and paint every day, but some form of that, and just tour less.
Right.
Maybe tour 3 months out of the year and, you know, take longer breaks.
Yeah. Damn, I wouldn't have thought that, but it's true. Like, you probably want to see your kid grow up too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's 5 now. He's at the age where he's more aware, so he's
right.
Like, he's like, stay home.
You kind of gotta, you kind of have to be there because it's the most important.
I feel like I don't live anywhere. Also, I feel like I live in airports and I just visit places.
That's how it's been for me like the past month. I can't relate to how much you travel, but just in this past month alone, I've just been traveling and it's just like I feel the same way. It's like, yeah, I don't even know what it feels like to. It's weird being home almost.
Yeah, bro. You almost feel like you're not supposed to. You're like, you know, like, oh, I should get out of here.
Yeah, it's weird. But that's crazy. So hopefully it does like kind of change where you can enjoy more time with your family and you can enjoy more time at home and hopefully get the auto body shop next door you have set up. And
then I want to buy a General Lee 70 Charger and ramp it into my pond.
I was like, okay.
I forgot to mention that earlier. So what's next for you, automotively?
Yeah, exactly.
Top that.
Well, for me, I'm just finishing. I have an R34 that I've been working on.
A GTR?
As a GTT, but it's converted to a GTR. It has all the like recorders, front end.
Yeah, you're about to make Ralph jealous, man.
Nah, yeah. I'm trying to study how he does it, and I was also eavesdropping when he was talking to what's that dude's name? He's like an RB. All-knowing
Lee Bird,
genie.
Right?
Oh, Lee Bird. Lee. Yeah.
Bro, when Lee Bird was talking to him about like how, I'm almost afraid to spill the information because, but I mean, he spills it, so I should spill it. But he was talking about how he got his GTT and he converted it to a GTR.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, he was on a podcast. He spoke about it already.
And he spoke about how he uses the diffs from an R32.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's something that I never would have thought of. That's the type of information that I'm like following him to just like hear and learn from. So I'm following his journey. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's all right. That's all. That's what I'm gonna do.
I was just gonna ask you, what have you done to it so far?
The GTR?
Yeah.
Or the GTT?
The GTT R to B?
just recorders. It's all gutted right now, getting straightened. In a frame shop. And then rebuilding the engine. We did a video.
Oh, yeah. I got to take a little bit of that engine apart.
Yeah.
I hit stuff with a hammer.
So after the R34, that's it?
I'm trying to do more videos with Ralph so we can do some like comedy and cars. I think it's going pretty well.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. The short videos do really well and it's super fun to do.
There's like a lot of... a lot of things about, you know, the algorithm and what works for your channel works for, that I never really like paid attention to myself.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that for my page, stand-up clips work.
Yeah.
A couple times I uploaded like me talking to the crowd and like crowd work clips.
Yeah.
And they didn't do as well as like me actually telling jokes. But that's as far as like how attentive I was to like my channel. Was like, this is what I need to post. Right. All I knew is like stand up works, post a joke. But talking to him, he knows more like, you know, this type of material and this and, you know, do this and do that. But I've also been telling him like, bro, who cares? People don't even know what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. People like, sometimes I feel like the videos that do the best are the ones where we weren't even like trying that hard. We were like, we didn't even plan like, let's make content. Like he was just like, I asked him if he could teach me how to do some stuff on the car. He's like, can I record it? I said, hell yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. But that is another thing that I'm using him to try to stay home more too. If I could make more content like that, that yeah. would be sick, and like I wouldn't have to travel as much.
I mean, yeah, you can make a lot of money doing that. I mean, I don't know if you have like, you make most of your money doing obviously stand up, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
So it'd be cool if you can kind of make like funnel that or make a way to kind of make it off merch, or I don't know if you have merch or whatever it is, but
yeah, I'm horrible with my merch. You know, it's crazy. You just reminded me is I ordered like a lot of new shirts that I designed. And my buddy Jesus designed, actually. It's like a new merch design.
Mm-hmm.
It's been ready for like a week and I just haven't picked it up.
Like the design last or night. the shirts are done.
Like they're printed and everything. And I just I've completely forgot I have those.
Well, I mean, you have him here, so he could film, you know, a little ad for you or something, or. Are your fans asking for it?
My fans do ask for merch, and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot to make it. I get overwhelmed easily.
You're doing a lot, man. You're traveling, you know?
It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time because you obviously have your son here. But I do appreciate both of you guys on the podcast. I appreciate your time. And hopefully when I come back to Texas, we can probably do some more, not podcast, but we could probably do some more content of your next car collection or whenever you get the shop done.
Hell yeah.
Cool, bro. To see it.
Or we'll go visit you in Florida.
I was going to say Florida, but I forgot. Yeah.
Oh, is that a secret?
It's not a secret. Yeah.
We'll visit you in bleep.
But I do want to see you live and doing stand up. So you are going to New York, right?
Yeah,
you
go I go to New York tomorrow. But if there's ever a town, like if you go to my page, there's a website there.
Okay.
My website. I don't remember who's in charge of it, but somebody keeps it up to date with my with my tour dates. Okay. My website always has my tour dates. If you ever see a city that you can meet me in or like that you're gonna be in and you need some tickets, just let me know, man. And I got you.
I appreciate that. I've never been to any stand-up show ever in my
life. Dude, you're from New York. You're in the greatest stand-up comedy city in the world.
I've never been.
Before you move, go watch a show at the Comedy Cellar.
What is it called?
The Comedy Cellar.
Okay, is it in Manhattan?
Greatest comedy club in the world. It's in the village.
In Manhattan, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Comedy Cellar.
The Comedy Cellar. It's not a traditional show. A traditional stand-up show will have the opener, which is like usually the host of the show.
Okay.
He'll do like 10 to 15 and then he'll bring people up and down. The feature. Sometimes they'll have a guest spot, do like a quick 7 minutes.
Right.
And then the headliner comes out, does 45 to an hour. The Comedy Cellar and a lot of the clubs in New York, mm-hmm. most of the clubs in New York are just showcase style. Each comic does about 10 to 15 and you might have like 8 comics total. But at the Comedy Cellar, you will see nothing but top notch comedians. So go watch a show at the Comedy Cellar before you move out of New York.
Okay.
Get your tickets like for a show that's 2 weeks from now because they sell out fast. They have multiple shows every night of the week and every show is always sold out.
And these are people that aren't based in New York or they just travel from?
Usually they're based in New York, okay. But you know, like if you know a comedian from LA, you know, Fluffy is in town.
Yeah.
You know, he can just hop in there.
Right.
That's the thing is like on any given night, on a Tuesday night, you could see some of the best comedians in New York, and then Kevin Hart will pop in with Chappelle and Chris Rock, and they'll just all three be on stage in this
really?
Basement room that holds 60 people. Like,
dude, that's sick.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I definitely will check that out for sure. And I definitely will well, I probably New York. If you're back in New York, I'll definitely hit you up. That way we'll go to or even Texas. Do you do anything out here?
Yeah, bro, all the time.
It'd be cool to go with, like, you know, Eli and the guys. It'd be pretty cool.
Hell yeah,
the homies.
Not Eli, but yeah.
Nah, well, if you guys can let the viewers know where to find you guys, social media, Instagram, YouTube.
For me, it's username_AF on everything, and then except for Facebook, someone stole it. It's Teach Auto on Facebook.
Yeah, who's that, Eric? No, we're talking.
Oh, it's Dan.
Why is he beeping? Wait, yeah. Oh, it is Dan.
It is Dan.
Yo, he's so red.
Follow me at RalphBarbosa03 on pretty much everything.
All right. Well, there you guys have it. We have Ralph Barbosa and Luis. So if you guys are watching and listening, make sure you guys like, share, comment, and subscribe. And make sure you guys are listening on all streaming platforms. Until next time, guys. We will catch you on the next one. Peace. This guy.
Yeah, haku, boy.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.